joining us in studio as we follow our regular season routine. Very happy to have our regular Friday guest here with the lowdown on Sunday's game, Lorenzo Alexander. Zoe in studio with us with the lowdown. Thanks for coming by here, Lorenzo. The end of a long week of practice. We always appreciate you wrapping up your week with us here.
Oh, you know, it's just as much as a pleasure for me as well to be in here with you guys. You know, John, you're doing a great job, and it's just awesome to hear you do that update. I guess it's officially summer's over. That was like a five-minute update there. There's a lot of news going on.
All so football, too.
No more baseball. It's crazy how it changes so quickly. But it's, you know, it's great to be in here and talk to you guys today.
You were talking about Miami going out west. I guess they're going to be out there for a week. We were talking about home field advantage and how big home field advantage is for a team.
Right.
Now, they have to go out west and stay out there for a week.
Yeah.
You know what it's like going out to London. And when I played here, we went out.
Arizona.
We stayed in Arizona for a week. I mean, it's so hard to do when you have to go somewhere else, practice somewhere. You have no clue where you are. I mean, you know where you are, but you've never been in this building or anything like that. It's tough to do.
Have you ever done that in your long career, Lorenzo? Sometimes they plan it.
Well, one year we were in Arizona. We were playing the New Orleans Saints, and I think we're going to play Tampa the next week, but I end up tearing my Les Frank in the New Orleans game, so I didn't do that week where we're out Tampa. I think they practiced at IMG that week.
Okay.
But for me, I don't like it. I mean, it just messes up my routine. We're kind of talking about that off air as well. I have my whole routine. I'm kind of OCD about it. My places I like to go, you know, like Spot Coffee, I'll be over there tomorrow. But, you know, you can't do that when you go out of town. You have to spend another week. And with this Irma, you know, kind of relocation, now you're worried about your family, your home, your friends and your family. So that's a whole heightened or a whole nother level that you have to worry about as well being away.
Texans just went through that.
It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. It's another hurricane behind it. It's just a crazy time. Just praying for everybody because I actually have family down in Miami and have family down in Houston as well.
Tell me about your routine. I offered you a cracker a minute ago, and you said, no way, not even one solitary cracker.
Yeah, we're too close to game time. You know, after, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, I get real regimented and kind of have times I eat and what I want to eat. You know, like for breakfast, you know, tomorrow I'll have my egg white omelet, two pancakes and sausage. It's just kind of warm up.
Is that at Spot Coffee?
No, that's here. Spot Coffee, I'll still have my medium almond milk white chocolate mocha. And, you know, I kind of start gearing up. I start carving up for the game, you know, this Saturday morning or Sunday morning. I'll have another omelet, and I'll change it to a waffle this time.
You sound like a boxer that
is
very regimented up to the weigh-in. And
so
then after the weigh-in, it's like,
and
you know
exactly
what
I do. You know, I kind of, you know, wash my weight all the way up. We're carb loading and getting ready to expel all this energy that I'm about to put out on Sunday.
I got you.
And what happens on Monday? Do you just go crazy? Pizza, wings?
No, that's really – actually, I have my cheat meal after the game.
Sunday.
So whatever spot I decide to hit up. My wife found this awesome bakery. And it's like Kalina's or something to that effect.
Where is
here
it?
Locally. It's here.
Orchard Park?
Yeah, it's really close. It's something like that. And she brought a home this awesome cinnamon rolls the other day, like these big, thick ones. And I was – that's the cheat meal right there. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm disciplined. But you bring it home early. It's like, why are you doing that?
Right,
you could have waited until after the game to bring this home.
I didn't have any.
I know, but it's hard to do.
It is hard to do when you walk past it
and you're looking at it.
And my wife,
she even goes to another level. She's like, you sure? You sure you don't want that? I'm going to put it in the microwave and maybe
that's
you have
horrible.
Some. So then she takes a piece and puts it right in my face. Like, you sure you don't want any? No, I don't want any.
15 yards for Tommy.
She wants me to enjoy in her process. I'm like, I just can't do it.
Lorenzo Alexander in studio with us. Congratulations. You've been elected a captain of this team earlier this week.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's awesome, awesome feeling. You know, obviously to have the respect from your peers, you know, just shows that you're consistent in what you do every day. It's not fake and phony because your guys can fill that out quickly. As you would know, Donald, being in the locker room, you know guys who rah-rah, phony guys, and then you know the guys that are real. So I'm happy that those guys recognize that, you know, and I'll just continue to do what I do. Even if I wasn't voted a captain, I would continue to lead and hold it down like whatever I do during the week.
Way back at the end of last year, we had you in here. I think it was the final Friday of the season. Maybe even after the season, you talked about how you were ready to assume the leadership role, and I got the feeling we were talking about the other day, regardless of whether you were going to be a captain here, you were ready to step up and be a leader this year.
Right. I mean, you know, it's all about – that's really a title, and, I think who you are every single day speaks louder versus somebody, you know, putting a captaincy title on you. Because oftentimes, especially when you have some teams that don't quite know how to figure it out, oftentimes the captains or the leader, you know, is your quarterback, just automatically because of the position, or it's your highest paid player. And sometimes those guys don't align to being leaders. But our team, I think, did a great job of voting on the guys, you know, regardless of paycheck or position, as far as putting guys out there. And you know, and I just want to make sure that I am a leader regardless if somebody just, you know, votes me in. Because sometimes it can be a popularity contest or what it may not be.
Yeah.
But if you show up every day, regardless of whether or not you got a C on your chest, I think that's more important.
You think for certain guys that might add some pressure to what they're doing, they feel like they have to be more of a leader because the team has voted them a captain?
With our guys, I would say no. I mean, maybe if you have a younger guy that doesn't quite know what that means, but you got voted captain based on what you do. So that don't mean, you don't mean you need to add something new to you, mm-hmm. or add this extra burden. Just be who you are and continue to do that. And that's why, because that's why you got voted.
How much of your role as a captain do you think deals with being a liaison between the players and the coach and the head coach in particular?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, even more so, I think that's, you know, kind of put to the forefront that guys can come to me if they have an issue. Because sometimes, especially as a younger guy, it is intimidating to go, hey, can you go to talk to Sean one-on-one or your position coach? So it definitely gives me the opportunity to kind of be that middle ground person. That's why we have the leadership council. Even guys that aren't captains are on that from each position, where a younger player or another player that maybe doesn't feel as comfortable can come to us, hey, I have this issue, can you talk to Sean or whoever for me and see if it can get worked out? And Sean has done a great job of having an open door policy. And if it's something that makes sense and it doesn't harm the culture and the vision that he set up, he's more than willing to, you know, kind of move and meet the players where we need to be.
How difficult is it for you? And, you know, I don't know if people really know, but you play a big role in as a liaison for the players here to the NFLPA.
Yeah.
And you play a big role for the NFLPA. How hard is it for you when you see, like, the relationship between the league and the PA right now and different things that are going on, and you're still a player? Like, how hard is that for you to actually still be a player? You read everything that's going on out there and still, you know, play the game. And
yeah, I mean, I compartmentalize it. I mean, I don't, you know, it's not like I have, just because we have an issue with the league office, as in, you know, Goodell and his company, doesn't mean I have an issue with our ownership group and mm-hmm. our head coaches. It doesn't, you know, you kind of compartmentalize it, and I think they do a good job of that as well. I don't feel like I'm on the chopping block because I'm in I'm in the negotiating room at all. Because I'm secure in my job and what I'm able to do and what I'm able to bring. And if somebody wants to cut me because of that, that's something I can't control. I'm not worried about it. But, I mean, it's important. You need to have guys. You need to have guys to stand up, guys that can stand up and fight for what's right and stand up regardless of what the repercussions may be. And I think that's what the NFLPA has done, or the men have done over the years, you know, especially back when they was fighting for free agency. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have it easy compared to what some of those, I mean, those guys were getting cut and blackballed and guys, you know, careers getting cut short. So, you know, I stand on those guys' shoulders and I would be foolish to kind of sit back and not stand up when I have such a great platform to do it. And security as well.
Right, right.
In studio with Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, one of the captains, one of the five captains for the Buffalo Bills, your 11th season in the league. I wonder what your sense is, maybe as a captain or maybe just as a guy, what kind of a group you have here. You know, there's younger players here. It's not the youngest roster in the league by a long shot, but what sort of a group do you think you have here? What kind of
guys
you have?
We have a great group. I mean, I think it really mimics what Sean's vision and culture is. He wants to bring in high-character guys that have the ability to play this game at a high level. So you think about Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, guys of that nature that we brought in as free agents that really add to our talent pool. They may not be big names, but if you see those guys play, smart, intelligent, fly around, can make tackles, can make plays, and that's the type of men that we want on this football team. And you can see in other areas of guys that were here last year where we cut the fat on because their mentality didn't match up to what mm-hmm. Sean's vision was. And I love that, and he's held everybody accountable from the highest paid player to the last guy on the totem pole as far as living up to those standards that we've set as far as being playoff caliber, being accountable, being a professional each and every day, single day.
Right after the draft, remember we were interviewed the draft picks. One after another, we said the same thing, Donald and I, that guy's impressive. I'm talking Trey White, Zay Jones.
Yeah.
Right down the line, everybody had like the kind of same mindset. I'm talking guys who never played in the league
before. Yeah, and I always talk about like these new age, you know, rookies that are coming out. It's night and day as far as how I kind of came up, mm-hmm. you know, as far as the respect on a general, I'm talking generalization, not our guys. But like you mentioned, when those guys came in, they weren't like, oh, I've arrived, I got paid, right. I'm a draft pick. You know, they was humble, well-mannered, respectful young men that understood that I still had to earn the right to be on this football team. Mm-hmm. And that's really refreshing because you don't see that a lot when you, you know, kind of, you know, go around the league a little bit and experience different kind of guys coming in.
Now, they've earned the right to be on this football team. Do you guys, veterans, find yourself talking to them now going into the regular season to try to make sure that they're okay mentally going into this?
Like, for example, with Matt today, I was just making sure to let him know, just relax. Play football. You've already done some preseason games.
This Milano you're talking about?
Matt Milano. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know it's a next step. This is now you're really achieving your dream, because I'm going to a real NFL game, but it's the same. I just want you to play fast and physical, because sometimes you can lose who you are as a football player because you get caught up in the moment. You're worried about making a mistake. Mm-hmm. Just go out there and play freely, because he's such a great football player. But sometimes when he – just like with anybody, you may get a little timid just because you're not sure. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to be look bad on TV. I want to be able to make the best of it. Just go out there and have fun like it's in the backyard. So just kind of continue to talk that encouragement to him, relax, because I know he can be a great player. And I know other guys are doing it with other young men in their room as well.
We had Zay Jones in here yesterday, Lorenzo, and I asked him about big first game. You're nervous? You know, you're feeling this is a big step for you? Right. He said something which led me to believe that Sean's message is getting through. Remember this, Donald? He said, hey, I'm doing what Coach said, just taking it day by day, trying to get better today and then coming back to work tomorrow, trying to get better tomorrow, and Sunday we'll get here eventually. And I thought that's a pretty mature statement, and it sounds exactly like something Sean McDermott would tell these guys, young and old guys.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think, you know, obviously Zay has a unique perspective because, you know, he has great pedigree and lineage in his league with his dad and his uncle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, he's seen it. You know, I'm pretty sure he's talked to them about it. But that is Sean's message. I mean, let's win the day. Let's worry about the day and then move on. Because if you start looking too forward, you miss little details that's going to help you on Sunday. And at the end of the day, if you're confident in what you're doing and your ability, you can go out there, play fast and have fun, and you won't worry about making a mistake because you know that you're ready to go.
All right, let's look forward. As you just get done saying that, let's look forward to Sunday and the game against the Jets, the lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander, where Lorenzo gives us sort of his keys to the game, the stuff that has to happen for the Bills to be successful. The lowdown, the first thing you want to talk about is on offense, right? Doing a good job up front on offense.
Yeah, I think we need to control the line of scrimmage, be dominant. You know, talking to those guys, obviously they have Leonard Williams and Muhammad Wilkerson. Traded away Richardson, so we don't have to worry about him. But those two guys are monsters, can get after it. Leonard is a young player, I think, going into his third year that's really starting to come on, really starting to understand pass rush. And Muhammad been doing it forever. You know, a savvy vet, can go, can be very dominant in the run and the pass rush. So if we can neutralize those guys, give Tyrod time, open up some holes for Shady, really keep them off balance, because their defense is the strong point, I think, of their team.
The front of their defense or the defense in
general? I think their front. I mean, they're led by them, because if those guys are pushing the pocket and causing havoc, like with any team, it allows your linebackers to play more freely. Corners don't have to worry about it, because the quarterback is not going to be able to get the ball out on time or throwing bad balls, so you can be a ball hawk. And when that's your strength of your team is your defense, you don't want everybody out there having a free-for-all and having that swag. And if you can neutralize those two guys, I think that affects the rest of their team.
This Bills team is pretty well equipped to do that, isn't it, with the group intact back from last year, with Cordy Glenn seemingly healthy, ready to go? I mean, you've got the horses to maybe dominate up front.
Yeah, we definitely do. But, they just got to continue to build that chemistry between each other. I think this might be the first time where they're all five of them, you know, since last year have been on the field. So, you know, the communication, all that, you know, getting all that, you know, kind of knocked out this week, and they coming into the game this week at full force is going to be great for us. You know, be able to move the pocket, get the ball in Shady's hands. I think it will neutralize all that up front.
For those of you who don't know, Lorenzo played on the offensive line in his career.
That's why you're so comfortable.
Right. What, exactly. you know, what's it like, though, to have your entire offensive line back for another year?
It's great. I mean, that's, you know, they're the people that get overshadowed oftentimes, you know, the unsung heroes. But when those guys are working well together and they understand each other, I mean, they can raise each other's game. I mean, I remember playing against the Giants for years, and individually, and this is doing like their Super Bowl years, and individually, you look at these guys and like, man, I would dominate him one-on-one. He doesn't look good at all. But they get together and they're working well, communicating well, helping. You know, communication, you know, you get their run game going. It's like, man, this is the best offensive line in the league.
Yeah.
So I know we want to continue to build what we started last year and continue to get better with that, and having this group intact now and trying to keep everybody healthy is going to be key to continue to make that group rise up, the cream of the crop, because we've been the number one rushing team in the last couple of years, and that's because of that group.
Lorenzo Alexander with the lowdown as we talk about what it will take to beat the Jets on Sunday. Dominate the line of scrimmage on offense. The second key you have deals with a more immediate concern for you, dealing with some veteran running backs, some guys who have been around for the New York Jets.
Yeah, Bilal Powell and Matt Forte, definitely dynamic guys. You know, we kind of was talking about this off air, too, that Matt looks like he has slowed down a little bit, but I don't believe it. I mean, I'm a guy that's over 30 as well, and I know – once he gets into his routine, you know, takes the medication before the game, he's going to come out there ready to go. And I think with their limited, I don't want to say talent, because they just got Curse and Curley signed, but they don't have a lot of reps together with Josh.
Yeah.
And that may hinder some of the things that they're ready to do on the outside. But I know they like to use both backs in the screen game, and obviously they're both dynamic runners.
Right.
So we definitely have to keep our eyes on them at all times because they're going to try to find different ways to get them the ball early and often to put up points. And I think Matt killed us last year. I think he had like three touchdowns or something like that.
He had a good game.
Yeah,
definitely had a good game.
So he's still fresh in my mind. I don't think he slowed down at all. So we're going to have to definitely have to corral him.
Regardless if he slowed down or not, I remember back in college we had this running back, and he was slow. Like, he really was slow. But he just knew how to read the offensive lineman. He knew how to read his blocks, and he would pick up 8-9 yards of carry. And it was like, how is this dude so good? He is, like, slow as molasses, you know? And so it's like – Matt Forte, as slow or fast as he might be right now, because he's been in this league for a while, he knows how to adjust his game and get it done. Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just from listening to Rex the last couple of years, but I have a new appreciation for Bilal Powell as sort of like a Swiss Army knife guy. You know, he can do a lot of different things and do them all pretty well back there, can't he?
Yeah, and that's why we have to keep our eyes on him, because they do, like I was saying earlier, they use him as an extra receiver.
Yeah.
You know, because I think they didn't have the horses on the outside, they traded away some of their top guys, finding ways to isolate him on a linebacker. And a lot of times that's going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure my eyes are right, knowing where my help is, you know, taking that air away and making it a phone booth game versus a space game, which because he's very quick and shifty, is something that I'm going to really have to focus on when we play him this week.
Part three of the lowdown, the third and final thing that Lorenzo is taking a look at, deals with special teams, also one of your areas of expertise, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe not as much this year. I'll be on punt team. I'm only going to be on one of four, but something I've done the majority of my career, and it's definitely something that's going to help us. You know, people always say, well, we want to put up a lot of points, or we want to shut that team down, but all of that comes in field position, and the most field position that is exchanged is on special teams. So we really need to have a great game from Colton Smith in our coverage units this week as far as being able to flip the field, especially since they have a great kicker in Chandler Catanzaro, who I think last year his long was of 60. So
you played with him in Arizona?
I played with him in Arizona. He's a really good kicker. Unfortunately, he had a couple of bad kicks and got released, but the Jets picked him up because of Ty Bowles was there. That's another connection as well. You know, so they only have to get to maybe the 35, the 40-yard line, and that's 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're flipping the field, I don't really feel like their offense has the ability to drive and get into that range against our defense, just the way we're going to be playing. So that's why we need to be able to flip the field and have great returns as well to set up our offense on short fields.
Does week one, I don't want to say heighten the risk, or does week one, is there like a sense of, look, something can happen week one because you have this special teams unit. This is really the first time that these guys are going to play together in a real game situation.
Yeah.
And anything can happen in week one where you break something, somebody doesn't do their assignment or something like that. Is it heightened in week one rather than like week 10?
Yeah, I think it's really the first 4 weeks. And this is the first time Sean made a great point. He was like, the first four games of the season – is one off of having great fundamentals. Because you really don't have any film on anybody quite yet. And most of the times you see something blocked or a bad play or an explosion play, it's somebody breaking down mentally or with their fundamentals because they just, you know, they haven't gotten them quite honed in yet. And I think that is key to make sure that you know who you have, especially on punt. Guys are twisting, but it all comes out to being the same. So making sure you have great eyes, great technique and fundamentals and blocking the guy you're supposed to block.
I asked Sean this question this morning. I said, you know, people always say you only get one chance to make a first impression. What would you want to be the first impression of the 2017 Buffalo Bills to be by Sunday night? What do you want people to think about your team this year coming out of the stadium here Sunday?
That we're smart, fast, and physical football team that's going to play with a lot of great energy. And we're not going to beat ourselves. We're going to be a sound football team. And I want them to be able to see that, you know, on tape, that we're dominating the line of scrimmage. Guys on the back end are making plays. guys are running to the ball, you know, offense and defense, you know, finishing plays. And that thing and that stuff comes across the TV screen, you know, whether you turn it on film as a coach or as a fan, you can see a team that's in it to win it and really is playing at a playoff caliber level. And that's kind of been our mantra, that we want to set that standard and build from that from week one.
You know, I have one last question about this defense, and this is in regards to Marcell Dareus. How important is he, especially in front of you as a linebacker, how important is he to this defense?
He is immensely important. I mean, actually, me and Marcell actually work together because he plays the nose. I'm the weak side linebacker, so he's a guy that's in front of me most of the time. Yeah. So the more dominant he is, the more dominant I'm going to be. So, and he has the ability to, you know, play at a Hall of Fame level whenever he gets his chance. So, and this week of practice, he's had a great week of practice. I mean, I can definitely see the energy, the focus, the intent. It's definitely all been there. So I expect a great game from Marcell this week.
You start your 11th season Sunday.
Yes, my 11th season, my 13th year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Is that 2 years on the practice squad?
2 years on the practice squad, yep.
Pretty good for an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a blessing. You know, I've have the ability not to have too many big-time injuries and being able to have enough rapport in this league as far as being a leader and a great guy. To overcome one that probably could have ended my career shortly. I would have never been here.
Last question I have for you. Do you eat more cinnamon rolls after a win?
And can you bring any in?
Will you eat more after a win than after a loss?
No, I eat more the later the season goes. The colder it gets, the more beat up I feel. The worse I eat. Yeah. My body, you know, reflects that.
That's
so I get a little softer.
That's comfort food. That's
easy.
That's
exactly.
Lorenzo, it's always great to have you. I'm happy for you starting another season and really look forward to having you in here on Fridays.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yep. The Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander every Friday before the Bills play.